Let's head to our Europe correspondent. Today it is Thomas Sparrow from Berlin, where Germany has been at the centre of an international debate on the delivery of tanks to Ukraine. Hello, Thomas.
Hello, nice to talk to you. I'm following actually very closely the flooding event over there. I hope you're all safe and I hope it improves very quickly.
Yes, it has been an incredible volume of rain, unprecedented volume of rain over our biggest city and, of course, other regions as well, but affecting so many people. Thomas, just explain why this business of combat tanks was such an issue.
After so many days of being criticised of pressure against the German government, and in particular the German Chancellor, finally decided this week to allow Ukraine to receive German-made battle tanks that were either in Germany's own stocks or that had been previously delivered to other countries like Poland or in the Baltic states or Finland, who then wanted to send them to Ukraine. And the point was, since they are German-made, Germany had to authorize the re-export of those tanks to Ukraine. And Germany has had a very long-standing reluctance to be involved in war zones by sending their military equipment. That's something that started to change after the start of the war in Ukraine last year. And that is a change that has only been going very slowly, and according to German allies, actually too slowly. So basically, the German government was really doubting whether it was a right decision to allow battle tanks to be sent to Ukraine, in particular German battle tanks. And the way all this issue ended up resolving itself was that the German government spoke to its closest allies, in particular the United States, in particular US President Biden, and then Germany decided to allow German-made battle tanks to be sent to Ukraine. And at the same time, the US government announced that they would be sending their own battle tanks to Ukraine as well, which basically meant Germany could avoid making unilateral decisions when it comes to these battle tanks.
So what happens now? Because a big question many people have is, when will Ukraine receive these tanks from Germany and from elsewhere?
It will take some time, especially if you look at the battle tanks coming from the United States. In the case of the German-made battle tanks, the main issue is actually training Ukrainian soldiers to use these battle tanks and to maintain these battle tanks and to repair these battle tanks. The training is expected to start, especially for the ones that Germany is going to send, in the next few days. So Ukrainian soldiers will be trained in Germany to use these battle tanks. But what we've been hearing here so far is that Ukraine can expect to receive those battle tanks at the latest by the end of March. So basically, those who are expecting that they will have a direct impact on the battleground now will probably be disappointed, because it may take some time before Ukraine actually gets them. It probably will have an impact on the battleground if indeed, as experts are predicting, Russia will have another offensive around the first anniversary of the war in Ukraine, which is at the end of February.
What difference will these tanks make on the battlefield? Just explain their capabilities a bit more.
Basically, Germany and other allies have been sending military equipment to Ukraine for a long time. They've been sending all sorts of different equipment. You may remember that right at the beginning of the war in Ukraine, Germany wanted only to send helmets, military helmets, to Ukraine. Well, obviously, that's the past. Germany and other allies have been moving step by step into equipment, military equipment that can actually help Ukraine gain some ground on the battlefield. So these are battle tanks. These are not necessarily defensive weapons. They can obviously be used in a defensive way as well. But the tanks are extremely modern. They're among the most modern in the world. Also, if you look at the Abrams tanks that the US will be sending. So Ukraine had basically asked for a long time to get these kinds of tanks, for a so-called tank alliance to be formed among the countries that had these tanks. We're talking about the Leopard tanks that are German made, and they are described as being very effective on the battlefield. So according to Ukrainian officials who wanted these tanks for a long time, they will be able to help Ukraine regain some of its territory, and they could also help change the balance on the battleground. These are obviously analyses that experts make, whether that will actually happen when they arrive in Ukraine, when they ascend to the battleground. That is something that we will have to wait.
What are the fears that this could lead to an escalation? As you say, it has been gradually progressing to more and more sophisticated weaponry being provided to Ukraine. It's frustrated at how slow that process has been, and it wants more. But what are the fears in Germany that there's the risk of escalation?
There are very high, those fears, and in fact, that's one of the reasons why the German government, and in particular the German Chancellor, were so reluctant to allow these tanks to be sent to Ukraine. That's also one of the reasons, by the way, why many Germans, if you look at recent surveys, are still skeptical of the fact that Germany is sending those tanks, because they believe that this will simply be another, that it'll spiral out of control, if you will, that we're talking every single time of even more powerful, even stronger weapons being sent to Ukraine, which could then lead to not only being a war between Russia and Ukraine, but maybe also at some point NATO being involved. That's something that German and European officials want to avoid at all costs. They've been saying time and time again that they will not allow NATO to be part to the war. And that's why all these discussions around these tanks had also to do with the possibility of this war escalating even further. And that's why also the German government only recently, this weekend, said that basically Germany would consider very carefully any further steps. So there is now discussion as to whether Europe and Germany should send battle planes, so airplanes, that's something that war planes. Germany has said they will not do so. There's a discussion about troops on the ground. Germany has said no way there's going to be troops on the ground, because that would essentially mean that Germany, or NATO in this case, would then be part to the war. So there are lots of concerns about this war escalating. And when they were balancing the pros and the cons of sending those battle tanks to Ukraine, they were also considering very carefully whether sending very advanced battle tanks could actually lead in the wrong direction. It could mean that this would become an even longer war, something that obviously everyone here in Europe wants to avoid, because they're seeing very clearly what impact it has everywhere in Europe.
So what tipped it, do you think, in the end? Was it the fact those other countries stepped up and went first, or what? I mean, is there an argument that there is no mood in Russia to cede here, and that this is a prolonged war? And as you say, if Ukraine needs equipment in order to make the ground it needs to make, and what tipped it specifically, do you think, for Germany in the end to send the tanks?
It was in part the fact that Germany was under a lot of pressure from its allies to do the same, to send those weapons, to allow those tanks to be sent, also from Poland, for example, or other countries in Europe that wanted to send those tanks. There is an understanding that Ukraine, as you say, needs that equipment if it's going to make some gains on the battlefield. And as such, it was basically those two elements together. On the one hand, the fact that Germany was being very much criticized by most of its allies, and the German Chancellor was being criticized for being a reluctant leader, for not paying enough attention to what was happening on the ground, for being, in a way, careless. And on the other hand, the idea that Ukraine definitely needed that. And what we've seen since is the fact that the German government has reiterated that it plays a very important role when it comes to helping Ukraine, that it has from the start helped Ukraine, and that it believes that it is necessary to help Ukraine in this war. And in fact, Germany is one of the countries that has helped the most, but it had such a bad image in the last few days, in the last few weeks, because of that reluctance, that I think that played a very important role in the German government's decision to change tack.
2023, the year that really worldwide the consequences of the pandemic, economic or monetary response specifically, are coming home to roost. And fears for inflation, and fears also, of course, for recession as central banks grapple to deal with that inflation. But are things looking a little bit less dire than earlier predicted for Europe?
And that's the case. And it's actually very surprising, because it was really gloomy at the end of the year, all the predictions for 2023, the fact that the Eurozone and Germany in particular could certainly be in a recession, that growth would be negative or would be very problematic, that there would be problems. Also, if you considered supply chain problems that came all the way back to the pandemic, if you considered the high cost of living. But actually, several studies that have been published in the last few days have predicted that that impact could be lower than expected. In other words, the situation is still very tense, the situation is still very difficult, but not as difficult as it seemed only a few weeks ago. So if you look at the predictions for German growth, and Germany is Europe's powerhouse in that regard, Germany could grow very slightly, just above 0%, but that is still seen as something much more positive than if you consider the possibility of a long recession. So what German economists, and that also applies to a large extent to the Eurozone, are predicting that is that if there is a recession, that recession would be shorter and less strong than expected, and that maybe some of Europe's economies will have a contraction, but not necessarily a recession. Now, obviously, that depends on how the war develops. That depends on how all this energy crisis and economic crisis here develops. It is still too early to say if these predictions will really be as they are predicting now. But what we see from these latest studies here in Europe is that the situation is slightly better than what one we had thought only a few weeks ago.
We'll take our good news wherever we can find it at the moment, Thomas. Thank you so much. Thomas Sparrow, he is political correspondent for Deutsche Welle, based in Berlin.